Are you old enough to remember what life was like before smartphones? If not, let me paint a picture for you. It's Saturday morning in the year 2003, and you have the full day free to do whatever you want. You might start the morning off watching some cartoons, going outside for yard work, or hopping in the car to get your favorite fast food breakfast. While you went along with your day, you almost always had access to a radio. You could listen to music, catch a talk show like Bob and Tom, or dive into the weird world of AM radio. It was a DJ's job to curate the top songs that you like and maintain a fun, entertaining experience for the listener. Then, in 2004, the portable digital audio playback device, in human terms, the iPod, offered the opportunity for the podcast industry to grow and for communities to come together over common interests. Our guest today has been running Indie InTune Radio for the past 17 years, blessing the airwaves with his sultry radio voice and playing the best music that Indianapolis has to offer. This episode of Stay Risky was recorded and brought to you by Engine Room Recording Company. I came around here looking for a way and found myself outside with everybody else. And welcome to Stay Risky. We have the beautiful, the elusive, the sexy Darren Snyder in our little studio with us. How are you?
Okay, everything is historically wrong with that monologue you just gave, but that's fine.
Well, hey, why don't you educate us?
Yeah. And can we just add entrepreneur, major business success, talented
model.
Artists are just some of the people Ben Cannon has killed and hidden in his basement.
That's fair.
Well, you're not getting away with anything.
Tell us in your words how you would have done it. How
you would have talked about yourself. Your timing was off. I think actually in one of the main problems, I was a second wave podcaster in 2006 when I started. So podcasting was around about a year at that point. And because what you had just said with the iPod, like that was the biggest problem when you started podcasting back then. It's like, well, I don't have an iPhone. Can I still listen to your show? And I'm like, it's
no.
Just an MP3 file. Like, so I need an MP3 player. I'm like, your phone has one. So yes, but I get it. But yes, and then there were no AM disc jockeys
well, the iPod,
in 2003, but it's cool.
Well, the iPod kind of like expanded
It brought it. Yeah, it brought it. But yes.
And that was more the idea. But like,
I just wanted to give him a hard time. It's Bram. I've never been his guest before, like, and I feel
I did
like
it all
I have
on purpose.
To make this
I was looking into this. Like, so from the transition to radio to podcasting, there's arguments that it kind of started in the 80s. Or Christian Slater did it and Pump Up the Volume in 1990, and he's the trailblazer. Like, there's all these different opinions. What
there
do you
were think? Little mixtapes that people were putting
sure.
out. I think, obviously, officially podcasting started with Dave Weiner's Morning Coffee Notes.
When was that?
2004.
Okay.
He had a blog, and then one day just decided, I should just record my blog.
Sure.
And he was the one that modified the RSS standards to include the attachments that you can now attach
okay.
MP3 files. So technically, he is the podfather. And then Adam Curry got it added up to a standard on iTunes, which broke the whole thing open, I guess, that you could download it on iTunes. So those two are your
okay.
If you want
all
a
right.
podcast history.
No, that's
that
why
you guys
we're here.
In
let's
the
learn.
You want to know
sir.
How all this started?
If we don't have, if we don't
notes.
Have history, we don't know how you got to where you are today and the difference
okay.
you've made. So
I forgot
actually,
we're talking about me, not you.
Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be about you. So
I hate that.
Let's go ahead. No, this will be fun.
All right, all right.
It's going to be fun. Just, you know, fucking chill.
You're going to make me tell every embarrassing story I have, and Ben Cannon knows all my embarrassing stories.
Ready? No,
I'm
so when in. You started Indie InTune Radio,
2006.
April. No, yeah. I know. I got the date. Shut up. So when you started it,
you
were actually mobile.
Yes.
You didn't actually do the studio in home yet, right? That came
correct.
Later. Okay. So you've got some great stories, though, about showing up to bars that are loud and you're trying to, like, interview bands.
If
and
I was lucky, I got to sit in the bar.
That's right. So what, Orange Music Fest, you had to sit outside in the rain?
Orange and Music Fest, I and then gave up because apparently none of the artists got the memo that they were supposed to come out to the media area and be interviewed by Darren. So then I just went to Orange with a free ticket.
There you go, yeah.
I remember Bottle Rocket Blue in the back of a van behind Radio because somebody was sound checking and we had to leave. So we went to their tour van and all sat on the wheel wells and ran cables and did it sitting in the back of a van in the dark. Dead Man's Grill on the hood of their car.
Awesome.
In a parking lot at Fort Bend. Because again, yeah, the bar was playing too loud and
sure.
we had to go outside. It was on a parking lot. Yeah, a couple just handheld standing somewhere. Yeah, for the most part, you'd get lucky. Birdies was never really crowded before shows.
Sure,
so they do a sound check. We'd pull up a table and we'd do Birdies.
Yeah.
Just about every bar.
Or the back room. Like you guys would do the back room of Birdies also at that
time.
Yeah,
did a couple in the back room. Studio C, the original conference room at Claude Nanny's, was always available to me.
Yep.
And if he gave me the beer for free, it was Claude Nanny's. If he didn't give me beer for free, I said I was at Studio C. So that's code. If you ever go back, wait, don't go back and listen to the old shows. But yeah. You could.
Now, in the old shows, being the, you know, the element of podcasting was so new to probably a lot of artists and stuff, were they sharing it? Were they excited? Were they like, when's this come out? You know, we're going to post it all over, I guess, Facebook or MySpace.
Also, 2006 was the golden era of MySpace.
MySpace, yeah.
So if you had done my show, then that means I added you as a top seven friend on Indian Tune. Like, it was actually the top seven were the last seven podcasts.
Okay.
And then they would add Indian Tune. So we were just, and then suddenly we'd all get 20 extra friend requests. So everybody loved it. It's like, I was on Indian Tune and I had 50 more friends on MySpace the next week. So then, it was a pretty big deal way back when.
No, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. Well, that's how you get going. So.
Well, what was the question? Something about, back the whole, yeah. And I had a line of people that wanted to be on back then.
Right.
And it was just really easy to go, oh, I've seen you on MySpace. Yeah, I'll do your podcast.
Yeah.
If they knew what a podcast was. Again, right. We were very early on in the day.
So then we migrate from the mobile to the studio. When did the studio come about? It's the famous Studio B, which has the magical beer fridge for those who are listening.
Yeah, that was 2011, 2012. It was shortly before we did the 24/7 radio thing.
Okay. For those that have not been down there, can you please tell them about your fully Alexa'd, fully automated setup and the capabilities that
it has? It is like this without all the soundproofing, ambient light, expensive equipment. It does have a beer fridge, a mannequin in a suit of
That's
armor,
all you need.
A foosball table, there's seating.
Did you say a mannequin?
There's a mannequin. You're going to start on the mannequin?
Yes.
All right.
I want you to please, because the first time I walked
in there.
Don't
tell me it's eccentric for a man to own a mannequin. It's eccentric for a man to own two mannequins. I only own one mannequin.
I've always enjoyed the mannequin because it always, she was always wearing something different.
Yes.
Always put on a face. You know, she took some time to get ready, make sure everything looks good. I just figure, you know, if you're going to have it, you got to have the most pretty mannequin. And she's also an internet star, right?
She is an internet star because, yes, I'd use the, if you listen to Indian Tune during the day, I wrote all the software that runs the playlist and everything, and I have written it to where the speech synthesizer will come in and give you your bumpers and things, and she introduces herself as Lexi, the spokes mannequin. So then she'll tell a little joke, and by the way, you know, here's Bashiri Assad, and move on. But it's all speech synthesized, and it's actually, I think it's all Alexa, if I think about it. I probably just had Alexa do it. It sounded better.
So you yourself... You're a musician and a big lover of music.
Musician is pushing it. Yeah. I'm a keyboard player.
The mess forever.
Yeah. I'm a keyboard player.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways.
I'm not a writer. I'm a typist. I'm not a musician. I'm a keyboard player.
You're a musician. But nonetheless, what was the drive in starting this? Was it just to share the stories and the music? Or was there something more in why you got going?
I want to give you the mostly honest version.
That's fine.
There's
we'll take it.
It's grown into legend as I make it sound better than it actually was. I owned a software company in 2005, and offices were down at Cummins. We had a silent partner that we've got office space, come down here. So I had to drive an hour and a half every day down to Columbus for work. Discovered podcasting because I'd forgot to bring something to listen to, and I was on my phone, and they had, I think it was called Web Talk Radio. I think it was called. All right. And I listened to that, and I'm like, this is amazing. And then I find out anything I want to know, there's already somebody that's got a show about this.
Right.
So I got podcast addicted. At the time we were doing, it was basically Salesforce.com Lite. Salesforce didn't exist yet. But I'm showing my partner this, and I'm like, you know, we could do a thing where we interview local businesses, because we were selling it to the Chamber of Commerce. We could have like a little spotlight hour and have a local business, and that could be a selling point for the software. I'm talking way too fast. Sorry. Too many.
No, you're
sounds
fine.
A lot like this show.
Yeah, it was. So he's like, yeah, it's probably a good idea. You know, look into that. So I went out and bought all these little microphones. I got some downloaded software, and I started working and to figure out how to work the little console. And then we went out of business. So as the legend goes, this is businesses do. Yeah, you could piece out what's complete BS and what's actually happened. But as I remember it, the legend goes, I was at Locals Only drinking, depressed that I was unemployed. I had nothing to do until I found another job. Money was looking tight. And I'm sitting at the bar drinking, and I'm like, oh, man, got all this podcasting equipment. That is really cool. I should probably do a podcast. That would be fun. I think that'd keep me occupied. What would I talk about, though? What would interest me enough to talk about it every week? And I'm sitting here watching a band. Like, that's neat, but all right. So I go to the bathroom, and I do remember the epiphany standing in the bathroom. If you've been to the bathroom at Locals Only.
Which is no longer there.
It is no longer there, but it is basically a 5 foot by 10 foot, 8 foot tall sticker bomb. And I have, it's the backdrop. If you go to IndianToon.com, it is the backdrop. But it is just band sticker, piled on, 10 layers of them. I'm looking at that going, yeah, I wonder if anybody knows who all those people are. Be the really the coolest guy in town if you knew every band on this wall right now. And that's when, wait, I had already been a fan of the Whiskey Brothers Homegrown Rock Show.
Okay.
They were on WKLU. It was, and I actually was a guest on my show. Marvin Parrish from the Whiskey Brothers was one of the hosts. They actually paid for this spot, but they went out to bars and interviewed the band that was playing that night, played some of their music, went on. And I had been to a bar a couple times and seen them do this. And that was the pattern I wanted for Indian Tune, because we had IndianapolisMusic.net.
Right.
And they were like, your music news, here's the shows this week. Right. They were great. Steve and Sweaty B. But, yeah, I talked to them. I'm like, look, I'm going to do a music show, too. I don't want to imitate you. Don't think I'm competing with you. I'm purposely doing something else. They were very nice about it. It was really cool. They gave me some pointers.
Nice.
Sorry, so, I'm rambling, but that's...
No. This is great. This
You're
going to
edit
this,
or does this go out live?
This is all...
We're doing it raw.
You actually have plans? This is an Indian Tune podcast. You got notes written down. You're prepared.
So...
Where's my beer?
One of the best parts about, and I've been lucky enough to share in the podcasting with you and be a part of Studio
You've
B.
You've been my constant sidekick.
I love
for
it.
Seven,
I love it.
8 years.
And it's one of the reasons that
I got on this show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But
they call it grandfathering.
Yeah.
Podfathering in this business. Yes, kiss the ring.
But I mean, no, it's interesting because like when I started, I remember being very nervous and worried about like what I was saying, and there'd be dead air, which the best was daring to get mad at me and be like, dude, say something, say something. It can't be dead air.
Don't call him the best sidekick in the business for nothing.
But now, like shows or other stuff, like you can ask Brian, like when we do Freeform up in Carmel, Indiana, like if the band's not talking, I'm like, dead air.
I both equally hate it, but thrive in it at the same time because I love awkwardness. So if things are real, like my favorite
part.
So
does he. Yeah, he'll rose. Yeah, it's dead air, Darren. What are you going to do? I'm trying to open a beer and save the file and get the next guest
so
in here.
Quick, politics.
Quick shameless plug, and we'll get back. The best part of Freeform is when Kyle Buck is doing his skits and they don't land perfectly, and he has the wrong audience listen to him. I die, but like of laughter every time. Like he was telling this joke about it was this very vulgar joke, and then everybody in the crowd had to have been above the age of 70.
Yeah, it was an older crowd,
and no one laughed, and nobody. I was loving every moment of it.
I mean, you did a great job. It was still funny.
It's a funny story, and that was. A great revelation when I first started doing live broadcasting, live streaming, and what you said, I got a bunch of people there, I'm doing something, and I'm telling a joke, and then I had always seen David Letterman do it, like when he tells a joke and it lands flat, and he repeats the punchline for the previous joke that worked, just to get him back
in it. Yeah, yeah.
I started doing that exact same thing, and suddenly I realized why he does that. It's like, because... You're going, should I recover from that? Should I explain that? What do I do? Got to say something. It's dead air. And then just repeat the last punchline. Yeah. I started doing it. I was like, I'm not imitating David Letterman. Yeah. It's just a reflex. It really is.
Well, and it's funny to finish up your thought, though, Bram, is people have come up to me. They're like, why the comedy before the show? I'm like.
It's for me and Ben.
Really, honestly, like I just like the diversity of it. And for some people, they love it. And for some, they don't. But it works. Like it kind of makes the show unique because you don't go to a lot of concerts and
engages,
see a comedian.
Yeah,
MC.
You used to go to concerts and see comedians open up all the time.
See, I never experienced
that, I also
honestly.
Think it is, for whoever's doing the comedy, it is a true testament to their art form because that's how they really learn because they are just dying up there. And it's fun.
You but do Kyle, not know who those Kyle's people are. If you go to a comedy club, somebody... paid to see you,
yes,
but
yeah.
If you're in front of Kiss opening up with jokes, they don't want to see
you. Oh my god,
it's
hilarious. Yeah, but no, Kyle's a trooper. Just quick shout out to Kyle. He's great.
He's great.
Also, Tyler's here taking photos of us throughout the day. I want to shout at him too. He's a great.
Is that that guy? Yeah,
Tyler. Yeah, Tyler's. He comes to every Freeform.
So tell him I demand. My writer says airbrushing.
Oh yeah, quite, quite. But back to you.
Nobody wants to see.
So
pretend I'm not here. You go ahead.
in the days of Studio B, because I'm sure it was
still
a transition.
The days of Studio B.
You won't answer the question correctly if you don't listen. Okay. So the transition from mobile podcasting to having the studio.
Yes.
The approach to talking to the bands and stuff like that, probably even the responses you got were just very different because you're different atmospheres, right?
Yes. So, you didn't have girlfriends standing around. usually all the girlfriends wanted to take pictures of their boyfriend getting interviewed.
But then you
like
go to Studio B and the band's all sitting at the bar talking to Darren and the girlfriends are on the couch in the dark kind
rolling
of
their eyes, playing on their phone. Yeah, they're right.
Like, why are we in this man's basement?
Yeah. Or yeah, somebody's friend will show up mid interview
like, hey,
and want to come
door
over
lock
and give
as soon as we came in.
Or like,
does this smell like chloroform to you?
He's had it where I don't know if it was confirmed, but we thought a band broke up on the show once. Like, it just went south. You were interviewing.
Oh, that
them.
Was oh my God, third interview. And yes, I did the, I shouldn't name the band.
No, don't name the band.
He was a guest later on. And yeah, you're interviewing and everybody's looking at it like, why are we doing this? We'd already been kicked out of the venue into the kitchen. So we're sitting in the kitchen, the door slamming. You hear people cooking. Like, we were supposed to be in the main room, but Nuvo didn't want us there.
In the kitchen.
But yeah, so the band is really tense, and there's only one guy talking. And every time he talks, everybody else rolls their eyes. And what I later found out was they were on a record label, and the record label told him, as soon as this gig is over, fire that guy. We've got another bass player for you.
Amazing.
So the guy that did most of this interview is not the guy that was in the band the next day.
Hey, at least
and they all
swinging.
Hated him, and they were all mad about the situation.
Well, the
I thought they just didn't want to do the podcast. So I'm like, do we want to do it? It's fine.
Well, the best part of that is if Health Board walked in to do a check. Like
something like that.
I'm pretty sure it would have shut the restaurant down.
Let me tell you, though, the one thing they can't take away from that guy is he probably has confidence of a lion. Because if you can't see that everybody else hates you and you're just like, you know what? And nobody else is talking. I'll just go ahead.
I think that's actually what it was. Nobody else was talking. So then he said, well, I'll talk. Okay. And he wasn't even the original band member. You know, it was like, but then, yeah, he was in a different band. This, the other guy, the head of the band, was in a different band. He came in and I said, that was a really weird interview 10 years ago. Yeah, and I'm like, I heard maybe he got fired or was getting, it's like, oh, yeah, we're getting ready to kick him out 5 minutes after you were done talking to him. Like, okay, so it wasn't you. I'm like, thank you. I spent 10 years thinking you guys hated me for some reason. It was only my third show. You had no reason to hate me. You didn't even know who I was.
Well, and that's one of the interesting things, too, is you've been doing it for so long. You've had artists, you've seen them do different iterations, like, over time. Like, or even just be in the same band, and they've come back and they released a new album, so they did a new podcast.
Yeah. That's it. Greg Jones, who was in Woe Tiger, Vestige of Ecstasy. I had him on with Danny Isaacs, my second guest. He was just doing a solo album, was back in last summer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you have been a constant guest on this show over 16, 17 years, man. It's like, will you ever give up or become successful? You get a choice. Pick one.
Well, then, like,
I love him to death, and he's a fantastic guitar player. He should be famous, but.
But you've also seen bands come and go. And some of our favorite bands, one that I want to bring up, Vela Fishburne.
One of my favorite. And Sentimental, because, they were like my eighth or ninth guest. Yes. But love that band.
Well, and that was one of my favorite things about the podcast was bands that I would be introduced to because of you. You'd book these artists. This is before I started helping with booking.
Right.
And I would just show up and I'd meet all these great musicians and be introduced to this music. I'm like, how are these guys still in Indiana? Like, how are they not touring? Mm-hmm. Vela Fishburne being one of them. I mean, they're... was it just one album or two albums?
Can't Move Your Mom's House.
Yeah.
There was two albums and then an album that was actually just kind of demos from the guitarist and the singer.
Okay. But, I mean, like, that experience and then, unfortunately, the tragic passing.
Mm-hmm. Ray Ruse, bass player, passed away.
Yeah, but we were then, you know, just in getting to know the band, doing some shows and then being a part of that that evening at Birdie's, mm-hmm. you know, saying goodbye to him and the band played and they had the memorial of like the bass on stage and all stuff. Like just very, very, very touching what you are a part of that community. Like what you've done with Indie Intune has always been such a huge part of my life because it showed me like what just a little bit of caring can, how far it can go, seeing, you know, these transitions throughout the years. But like, it also, a huge part of what we're talking about in the Stay Risky podcast is doing it for the right reasons, doing it because you love it, because you believe in it, because you just, you have a good time and you're passionate about it, not for the dollar. Because IndieIntune doesn't make money.
I think I made $1.50 and that was just the rounding from Divine
Beer
Money.
Or the, nice band, or the one random band like the years one, ago that didn't get their payout at the end of the
random.
Night.
Yeah, that became a rule. If your band didn't even stick around to the end of the night to get paid, I kept that. I got tired of tracking
and then it was beer money.
So, yeah. But I, again, it was like $4 or $5.
Right, it wasn't
I bought a beer for a girl and left it there. I mean, I didn't go home and get rich off that either.
Right. But like, what was really cool is going into then the pod concert. So like, yeah, throughout the years, you just kept developing stuff because
why don't we do that stuff? And we do something really fun for a couple of years, and then we go on and do something else.
No, we need to go back to
those
the pod concerts.
Were fun. Those Cammies caused
so
marathons
explain,
were
so
fun.
Let's do the pod concerts. Let's talk about that.
Pod
next.
Concert was a replacement for Ricky Potts's $5 bands for $5.
$6 bands, $6.
No, was I was it? $6 band for $6. I thought he was $5 for $5.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Because Jeff Sample had called and said, well, Ricky's moved and he's not doing these anymore. Do you want to take over $5 for $5? We'll call it a pod concert Indian Tune night. Okay. And I said, well, we're not doing $5 for $5. Can we get $6 in a night? I want to do at least one up on that. So it became $6 for $6. But then, yeah, every band had like 35 minutes to play. And
right.
We worked at Birdies. Those bands are never written. Those things start an hour late.
R.I.P.
to Birdies. Yeah, 2 in the morning. We're still trying to get the last band on.
Their, nobody's
their
there.
Their wives are there and me. And that's about the only people watching the third act. Usually I always booked a first time band for that. So at least they were thrilled to be there. The first time bands went first and last.
But the pod concerts grew between different local businesses, which I loved. It wasn't just local music. When sometimes we did raising money for charities too. So
the radiothons.
Radiothons. That's right.
That
yeah.
was, yeah. That
so
was,
pod concerts led to radiothons.
Those got ridiculous because, yeah, then it was, I think, Press Maxon's high. It was supposed to be Press Maxon's high five thing, and he said, "Well, you want to come do a radio thing and record it and simulcast it?" I'm like, "Yeah." So then, yeah, 6 months later, we should do that again. It was Dave Kaiser.
Sorry, so, yeah, that quick. Was. Hold on, sorry. Sorry. Go back. Just that's my fault. Sorry, go back.
You're fired. You owe me a case of beer.
So the pod concerts led to the radiothons.
The radiothons, okay. Which originally was Press Maxon's high five day. He had his song and he had some friends. He was going to do a thing. So why don't you simulcast this or, you know, record it? But Kweiser was thrilled. We were all sitting there and he's like, there's live music on Broadripple Avenue and there are people walking down the street, stopping in. Like we should do this again. So we did it again. And then instead of 8 bands, it became 12 bands. Yeah. And then we moved it. We did what? 3 at sabbatical.
Yeah. We did 3 at sabbatical, all which, live streaming, too. We'd start in the morning and go into the evening, and you could listen to it anywhere. We'd have people that were listening in the morning coming
and
in
then
the
show
afternoon.
Up.
Yeah,
yeah. There's shots of, like, all of the local bands are sitting on the rail next to where we're talking, and, you know, nobody's watching the poor band playing. They're like, what you doing, Darren? How you been, Darren? Is this
but
great?
We would,
look, everybody's here.
We would respectfully, like, pause talking, and we'd, like, the band would be playing. We'd, like, oh, so let's tune in and listen to
but
a
then,
song.
Yeah, people would complain, like, you should be broadcasting. It's like, if I broadcast the concert, you won't be down here. Come down. Here and then I think everybody got the hint.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Darren is going to tell us about the elusive world of naked chess. This episode's Trailblazer shout out goes to A Kid Again. A Kid Again offers free local events and activities called adventures for families who have a child facing a life-threatening condition. They handle all expenses and details so the families can simply enjoy quality time with their loved ones. At 45 Creations, we were fortunate enough to work with A Kid Again for our past Christmas-themed singer-songwriter round, where we brought in some of our favorite touring artists to play an acoustic live show at Fine Signs and Hotel Carmichael. We were able to meet one of the families and host them in one of our favorite spaces to enjoy a show with great food and holiday fun. All musicians who played that show donated 100% of their merch proceeds to the foundation, along with a raffle that we had at the end of the show to help raise funds for the cause. Events like these help these children who are facing life-threatening circumstances get a chance to breathe and enjoy their lives. We had a blast working with the organization and family, and look forward to doing more events with them in the future. If you'd like to donate or support the foundation, head to akidagain.org to learn more. And we're back to the Stay Risky podcast. We left off with a something that's not real, but, you know, if it was real, tell us what the world of naked chess is like.
Well, first, you try to guess the person's ranking, or ELO, as we say in the chess world. And the closer you get, the more clothes they have to take off. Yes.
Oh, so you don't start naked.
It's quite competitive.
No. That's you're thinking full contact chess.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, my mistake. Yeah.
Completely different sport. You're not getting naked chess on the Olympics. You can get full contact chess on the Olympics.
So we left off where we were talking about the transition from podcast to radiothons, the growth of Indie in Tune at this point.
Yes.
Bands showing up to talk about their album releases that were coming up. And
did a few for album releases. We do big on the site shows for those. Those were always fun. Well, at that point, I think some bald moog had a whole recording studio, so we were really combining efforts back then.
That's true. That's true.
Trying to get artist promotions and all of that thrown in the whole Indie in Tune mix.
So through all of this, though, like, you've had so many different experiences. You've met amazing artists. You and I have had just some of the best times I can ever think of. Do you have one in recent memory that you're just like, that was like everything that I put into this, all the time that I've, you know, spent? Is there something that really stands out to you that you're just like, okay, that was worth it? That
in
was
recent. Because now recent to me is post-COVID, and there's
recent
been
memory
recent
of
memory.
Anything from.
No, I think the last huge high point we had, maybe you could correct me, because I'm sure if there was one, you were in there, but I was thinking it was Cammy's Cause. We were all sitting behind the stage. Did a broadcast with Radio Free Indy for 12 hours.
It was ridiculous,
there.
Yeah.
And we were coming, you're like, I want to go see this band. All right, we'll cover for you while you go see that band. It was just, oh, so-and-so just arrived. Grab him, put him in front of the mic. But yeah, I remember even that morning I had to drive to Sam Ash because we didn't have a cable long enough to go to the
snake,
soundboard.
Yeah.
So I go to Sam Ash, I buy like $150 cable. Like, aren't you supposed to be at Cammy's? Like,
didn't we all chip in on that too? Or
no,
like
you were supposed to, but you never did.
Oh, I never
That's
did.
That's why I
kept
the cable.
Yeah.
By the way, actually, I was looking to get that while we were here.
Oh, I've got one in my basement. I probably won't need it.
Oh, no joke. I actually do need a snake, so that'd be great.
It's not a snake. It's just 250-foot XLR cables.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
nice. It was ridiculous.
So I can actually start recording in my house, but record things out in my barn across the street.
You could.
Fun side note,
I suppose you could even hook them to male, female them together and go 300 feet if you wanted to.
Where are we going with this? Yeah.
I was just going to bring up a random story about how I filmed a music video out in our barn, but the barn is about 300 feet across the road. And I ran extension cables from the inside of my house through a window out.
Just to power.
So what I'm basically
so
trying to say is
combines driving over your extension
cable. No, I put mats over it so they drove it.
So you didn't try to duct tape it to the street or anything?
Well, it's gravel, so there's nothing to grab.
Oh, that's
grab.
True. Yeah. I forgot. I've been to your house.
That's true. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you're fine. That's great.
This is all gold. Are you guys in the video room out there getting it? How's the sound? Check this out.
Hello.
They're not even paying attention to us.
I don't blame him.
Sleepy Floyd, is it? Who's here?
Sleepy Floyd.
It's your next guest. It looks like Sleepy Floyd. I can only see the back of his head, though.
So one of the cooler aspects of Indie in Tune, now that it does run 24/7, is you...
I think we should probably log in and check.
Log in and check, yeah. That is a real thing for those of you who
it
try to run their own radio station.
There's no UPS on it, so if the power flickers, I have to run downstairs and start the radio station up again.
Which you're dedicated
and sometimes
enough
it
that
takes
you do
days.
This.
Sometimes
yeah.
it takes days for me to realize... Oh, yeah, the power flickered last week in that storm. I haven't been broadcasting for a week.
But you have other shows on there.
Yes.
And you, for other podcasters that...
There's Let's Play 10 crap that people are telling me to get rid of. There's
it's horrible.
They can't tell you to get rid of it if they're not listening.
Are you guys broadcasting on there?
Yeah, I was going to add this to the lineup on Sunday nights is Talk Sunday.
It sounds a little self-fulfilling, doesn't it?
Nah, it's really? Fine. But you've had some really other, you have
Cannon
some other really good
me. He knows
shows.
Every answer to
I hate
Sorry,
that you're not
I'm
listening.
Talking over you.
But you've had some really other cool shows on that, and that expanded your community. That was my point.
Yes.
Yeah, and I thought that was really kind of where the pinnacle hit with how much you could do with that for so many people. It wasn't just you getting to interview and kind of live this dream of, you know, interviewing these artists. It was,
it's always been a dream.
you're helping everybody. And I love that aspect of it. And it got to the point too, where you were getting to actually interview some bigger artists too, didn't, or you got an offer, an MP went and did the interview for Jethro Tull or
Martin Barr, which was one of the few offers I took. I think I was just, I found the only other interview I've ever done in my life for Chris Brake, who was one of those podcasts that used to air on Sunday nights, and nepotistically he had me on his show, brought up that I got a call one day to interview Danny Carey from Tool.
Nice.
But I had a indie pod concert that night, and I'm like, tell Danny I love him, but
I would
no,
have canceled
not,
every plan.
I know,
even
I
if it was like a important date.
No, I missed a Yes concert. I missed a lot of things for Indie and Tomb.
And you've had offers for other bigger artists. You're just like, we're a local radio show. We don't think we'd really benefit your,
I think
your show.
If you're that certain tier where you've got management that just looks up Indianapolis music blog.
And there's not a lot going on in Indy, so it's not disrespectfully, but
not
it's
yet.
Not
actually, no, I think Terry Nunn from Berlin, we did an interview with her. Yep. We did Martin Barr.
Check back in with us in 5 years when we are the mogul of Indianapolis local business.
Yeah, but I think was it? Like churches, they were kind of at that level
where they wanted
playing something downtown. Yeah.
Churches with a V?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wanted to do something. It was, that's not what I do. I'm sorry. I'll do it for, honestly, the only reason we did Martin Barr was because the guy that brought him is a friend of mine and he wanted some promotion. And I'm like, well, whatever it does to help out Martin Barr, I guess so. I mean, I owe Tull a lot. All right. But then I realized I didn't know half as much about Tull as MP did, so I had MP do the interview, and I just sat and ran the board and said hi.
No, that's cool. And also at that time, we got to do things like the Vogue and some really big, cool venues and theaters in Indianapolis. But again, all local. We saw multiple bands.
Release Fest was kind of the shine thing, but I was kind of the promotional arm
together.
But I was the one, I was helping with the market. I was IMC'd one band, but mostly it was... We do the acoustic thing, and I would go there and broadcast the acoustic things. So, yeah, I was proud to be helping out with all that as just sort of the marketing arm.
Well, my favorite part was of our history is how we met. So at the time, I was a manager at
eHarmony.
Grindr.
That was actually later, which was weird because we already knew each other.
Pretzels only.
Pretzels only. I'll loan you the
shameless plug.
But no, we met at Castleton Grill.
No. We met the night before.
Oh, we met at Birdie's.
That's when I decided it was like karmic fate.
Yeah. And then I was at Castleton Grill, and at the time I was in management, and the owner was like, hey, we should do some music here. We need something like on Sunday nights. And I was like, well, I have an idea. And Darren and I chatted it out, and he's like, well, you could do it with local artists. He's like, you need to think about these things. This is what, and he had an insight to help me kind of like format it so it made sense and it would actually bring people out to be a part of it. And so we started doing these shows on Sunday evenings.
Those were fun.
And they were fun. They were all ages. No, you didn't have to pay to come in. You just come, have a bite to eat, and hear some great local music. And we would pack the patio. There would be, you know, 30, and that was a small patio, people out there. But that really kind
of... A lot of regulars kept coming back on Sunday nights.
Yeah. And it kind of catapulted this relationship that you and I began that really just, it was cool. Like, I always think about, like, all the cool stuff that we've done. But, like, the beginning of it was probably one of my favorite moments, personally. Like, I love that we did that. We did it through the summer. And it was just something that, like, really gave us a break from our day-to-day.
We did it 2 years, didn't we?
We did it 3 years, I think, actually. I think we did 3 years. Because we had...
We did Inside at one point. Mm-hmm. We used to pull that booth out.
Because the Sundays did so well. And the winter, it started
to keep it going.
So he's like, oh, let's do it inside. Yeah, we had it right by the fireplace.
We'd be in the captain's chair back in the bar. Go, keep going. That's good.
But then we had the expansion into Shine on Rocks on 86th Street Pub. We did stuff at Sabbatical for a while. And it got to this cool
part. We had Monday nights at Claude Nanny's. Yeah. We had Monday nights at that place in Zionsville.
And the reason I bring that up is like... We really did some really cool things.
We used
together.
To be somebody. Our names commanded respect in this town.
Before this gosh darn TikTok came out, used to go outside.
Before the COVID and the TikTok, but people came to us if they wanted to have a show. Do you know who the hell we are?
They'd spend a few shekels.
That was our tagline for the longest.
They'd spend a few shekels. They'd eat dinner. They'd watch a show and they'd shut up.
But like,
why do we just go
everything that you built and started and to the people that you worked with or became friends with, we did a lot of really cool stuff and we helped a lot of people the best that we could. And we have a lot of really great memories from that. And
those people are gone and it's just us now,
I
Cannon.
Think that that's
Where
one of the,
you,
my
Jeff
favorite
Semple?
Things that
Indian
Tune Radio
you, Dave Kweiser?
Ever did. Was the impact you made on this community and just myself and other people that got to be a part of it or still get to be a part of it because it's still going to this day. And so thank you for that because it's a huge part of my life personally.
So you get psychologically, what I'm doing is I'm like Captain Kirk and I have compliment deflectors that I have to throw up from him every once in a while.
I can't handle it either.
I can't say people saying nice things about
me. So for everyone listening, though, tell them where they can find Indian Tune Radio.
IndyinTune.com. IndyinTune.com.
And you can listen.
And I do regret that name because the first three podcasts, it was Indy and what? Like Indy in Tune.
And then where can you, because you can listen to
it's
it on the IndyinTune
app. It's almost as dumb as 45.
We're on TuneIn. We're on MyTuner. We're on Radio.net. We're on Shoutcast.
Grindr.
Not Grindr, yeah. We're on
a streaming service
if,
now.
If you're, if
they do everything.
I am the biggest fan of Radio Garden. We're on Radio Garden.
Oh, okay.
I love that app. But yes, pretty much anywhere you get streaming radio stations, you can find us.
And it's all local music, local podcasts, 24/7 if it's up.
If it's not
24/7, except when it's not.
If it's not up, tweet the Twitter account and I'll turn it back on
you
for
mean
you.
X.
Oh, X account.
Yeah, X account.
Yeah.
Although you've been popular on Threads.
Not as IndyinTune, though.
No,
that's more my own thing. I haven't put IndyinTune on Thread. I'm waiting to see if this Threads thing's going to catch on. I've been burned before with social media. I had a Jaiku account. I had a Plurk account. I had a Frapper account. None of these took off, but they're real. Look them up.
Well,
this Twitter thing, who knew?
Who knew? Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Darren.
It means the world, too.
Oh, I'm getting cut off again?
You sure are.
All right.
It's a short podcast.
Okay.
We don't need it to be
hours. It's been a blast, Cannon. And listen for these guys. What's the name of this show?
Stay Risky.
Stay Risky. Sunday nights at 7:30 on Ooh. Indian Tune. Right after Let's Play 10.
Engine Room Recording Company. Located in Broderpool Village just north of downtown Indianapolis, specializes in making your projects go. Podcasters, bands, audiobookers, rappers, singers, songwriters, and everyone in between, the Engine Room Recording Company has the experience, the engineers, the equipment, and the environment to fuel your projects. For more information on their services, creatives they've worked beside, and gear they use, visit them today at engineroomrecordingcompany.com and be sure to follow them on Instagram at engineroomrecordingco.